Bright beams of light emanate from a golden torch, held high in the raised hand of a woman draped in a Grecian toga. She stands atop a flight of steps, surrounded by billowy clouds. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. A stone gargoyle shrieks from the tallest tower of a castle, silhouetted by a full moon. Dark Castle Entertainment. A car dangles from a wrecking yard crane. Columbia Pictures and Warner Brothers Pictures present. A Dark Castle Entertainment production. It's nighttime, and moonlight bounces off towering stacks of mangled cars and billowing police tape. Thirteen Ghosts, with audio description by Ben Pennington and Jane Westrop. A tanker plows through an electrified wire fence and enters the wrecking yard, closely followed by a fleet of 4x4 vehicles. Moving along a road lined with burning braziers, the convoy ventures deeper into the yard. The vehicles pull up and a team of men wearing protective clothing climb out of the 4x4s, which bear company crests on their doors. Sophisticated equipment is readied in the back of one of the 4x4s, while the team scrambles to position loud speakers throughout the yard. From around a corner, a vintage car appears and pulls to a stop. Its rear door opens and a well-groomed middle-aged man steps out, wearing a long coat and holding a cane. He surveys the scene. He's followed by a younger man, who immediately holds his hand to his head in pain.
Is it bad tonight?
Oh, bad. That's one way to describe it. Insane seems a little more appropriate. Feels like he's breathing down my neck, man. It is my professional opinion. We should get the hell out of here. Now.
Noted. Clean this place up and then locate our guests.
The young man takes out a bottle of pills, but his boss spots them and kicks them out of his hand.
We just need to take the edge off.
You know the routine. I need you clear-headed. First things first. Now, where is he? Show me where he's hiding.
Holding a black and white photograph of the wrecking yard, the young man presses his hand to the ground and is immediately overwhelmed by horrific flashing images of pain and horror.
Son of a bitch, you said you only killed 9 people. There's 40 victims here.
9 when he was alive. He's added a few since then. Now where is he, Dennis?
Letting go of the photograph, Dennis points decisively towards the far end of the wrecking yard.
All teams go to Alpha. Bring in the cube!
The cube is winched up.
Todd's gotta get this name, the Breaker. What is he, a truck driver?
Simple folklore. The local color, exercising its demons.
Or maybe it's because he broke his victims into as many pieces as possible.
A car crashes to the ground.
I hate being rushed.
This one isn't like the others.
Then I'll give you a bonus.
You don't have that kind of money.
After tonight, you'll be surprised. Now get to work.
Dennis touches his boss's arm and has visions of advanced machinery and bundles of cash.
Careful, Dennis. Don't get too curious.
No! Son of a bitch! How can you possibly justify what you're doing, Cyrus? It's out and out slavery.
I'll give you this, Damon. You are persistent. And what about you, Kalina? Still carrying around those ridiculous quicksilver flares? You still have that quaint little magical book?
These aren't animals you're capturing. They're human beings.
They are dead human beings. Maybe you should join Greenpeace. Throw blood on old women's furs.
Who are you to play God?
plagues for children.
You'll never pull it off. Not without the right spells. That and a 13th ghost.
13th ghost?
Get them out of my sight! We've wasted too much time already.
Why did you say 13?
Move the cube into position!
When's he talking about 13 ghosts? You contracted me for 12 ghosts! The Breaker's 12! I'm done after tonight, Cyrus!
Yes, 12, and then one more! I thought you were psychic!
It's not how it works, and you know it!
There's no time to argue. Release the bait!
What bait? We never needed bait before!
The tanker's headlights flare up. Then Dennis watches as it rounds a corner towards him, spraying red liquid from chutes either side of its front fender.
A truck full of blood? You gotta be shitting me!
It's heading straight for him.
Oh, boy.
Looking down from above, Cyrus puts on a pair of glasses.
Now, power up the cube.
The doors of the cube slide open, like those of a glass elevator.
Start transmitting.
Chaos. Day 4 is Invernus Surge. Day 4 is Invernus Surge. Omnia Mortuae Sunt.
While loud speakers transmit the voice, anxious team members scan their eerie surroundings. Something is moving between the huge piles of twisted metal.
Come! Come!
Come!
A stack of cars topples to the ground. An invisible force drags a man into a car, then blood splatters on the windscreen. Then another team member is folded in half, backwards, as he's pushed into a trunk.
No!
Jumping clear of tumbling wreckage, Dennis catches sight of the ghostly figure of a large, gruesome man, lifting a car over his head, then dropping it on a defenseless team member lying on the ground. The enormous figure appears only in flashes as he walks towards the terrified men, who slip and fall in pools of blood in their haste to escape. Bodies and twisted metal fly through the air as the ghost tosses anything that gets in his way. One team member inadvertently runs into the cube and falls to the floor. When the ghost follows him inside and the doors slide shut behind him, he picks up his prey and begins to ram him against the walls of the cube.
Hey! Hey! Put him down! Hey! Hey! Hey!
The ghost disappears. Grimacing with pain, Dennis leans against the cube's glass door.
Hey, Cyrus! I hope you're happy. You get your 12 now.
Help me! He's dying! Come on, David, somebody help! God damn you, Cyrus! Somebody help me, please! Help me! Do something!
Damon is lying on the ground, his throat and mouth covered in blood.
Oh, God.
Dennis spots Cyrus, who's lying dead on the hood of a car, pinned down by a jagged strip of metal which has cut his throat.
Sweet!
Come on, Bobby!
Hi! Come on, Cassie! Faster!
Here, let me get your arm.
Come on, Cassie!
You're the best little brother! Come on, you! Come on, let's go!
Come on!
I'm gonna get you!
I'm gonna get you!
Starring Tony Shalhoub.
Got him on the run now, but before you know it, he's going to be picking her up and throwing her over his shoulder.
They're perfect.
No, watch her.
They really love this place.
M. Beth Davids. A couple watch their two children play in the garden.
I love you.
Matthew Lillard. Shannon Elizabeth.
Love you, make a wish. Blow out the candle.
Alec Roberts.
I love you too.
J.R. Bourne. Introducing Ra Digger.
What's that?
Why is the smoke alarm on?
It's the fire alarm. I'll get the kids. You call the fire department.
Dad, help! Mom!
Get the kids.
Mom, Dad!
Get the kids!
And F. Murray Abraham.
Where's your mom? Where is she?
Voices from the past echo throughout a tranquil home, which becomes charred and scorched.
I'm sorry, sir. She didn't make it. I should have gone back in.
The attractive living room transforms into a cluttered bedroom.
We are gathered here today to honor the memory and life's work of Jean Criticos, a devoted mother and loving wife, who was too quickly taken from this life. Jean, forever missed, but never forgotten.
I miss you, Mom.
I miss you, Dad.
Come, why did you have to leave us? I can't do this without you.
I want you to go.
God, Mom, I love you so much. Please watch over us. I'll love you always.
Arthur, the man who was previously watching his children play, is staring at a brick wall outside his window. Behind him, a notice board is covered with bills.
Dad, it's almost 8:30. Shake a leg or you miss your first class.
Today on Death in America, cancer rates are down, but suicide is sky high. We have a special treat for you today. A body was found this morning, decapitated.
Decapitated.
Bobby, honey, find a healthier hobby.
Leave me alone, you guys. I'm recording.
Morning, everybody. Something smells interesting.
Dad, they found a guy without a head behind Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, I love Dunkin' Donuts.
Dad,
Kathy, why don't you let Maggie make the breakfast for once? Honey, that's why we hired her.
Dad, have you tasted Maggie's cooking?
Yeah, just that one time.
Hey, I heard that.
How I cook better than you?
Look, we have to try to get along.
Dad, will you tell Kathy that keeping a record of death is healthy?
Kathy, keeping a record of death is healthy.
Because she's being a real slut about it.
Bobby, don't call your sister a slut.
Thank you, Maggie.
I prefer the term bitch. See, sluts are girls with loose sex morals.
Hey, ho, Mr. Edgar Allan Poe, did you do your homework? Has Mr. Peterson been telling you?
God damn it! Bobby, it's the third time I've tripped on that stupid scooter.
Sorry.
We had a bigger place, we wouldn't have this
problem. Well, we don't have a big place anymore, do we? It's the best I can do for now. So let's just all try and keep our shit off the floor.
All right, now, Bobby, put away the damn tape recorder. Can you do that for me? And get ready for school.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Oh, God. Must be the lawyer. I forgot.
Lawyer? What lawyer? Thought our credit was all cleaned up.
No, I don't think it's about that.
Dad, they won't make us move again, will they?
It's gonna be all right. Whatever it is, we'll deal with it.
Mr. Criticos.
That's right. You're,
Ben Moss.
Moss.
How do you do?
Please, come in.
Is, now a good time, or...?
Good as time as any. Please, give me 1 minute, please. Okay, sorry. I'm ready.
I represent the estate of your Uncle Cyrus Criticos.
We have an Uncle Cyrus?
Had. I only met him a couple of times as a kid. He wasn't too popular. My dad said he squandered the family fortune.
We have a family fortune?
Well, no, Cyrus squandered it.
Hey, Bobby, isn't that great? You got a late uncle.
What is he late for?
His next birthday.
You mean he's dead?
Now we get his attention.
Pipe down.
Cyrus recorded this message 6 weeks ago. He asked it to be played for you in the event of his death.
Moss hits a key on his laptop, and Cyrus appears on a small screen, lighting a cigar.
Arthur. It's good to talk to you. Sadly, if you're watching this now, it means I am no longer among the living. Happily, that makes you and your family my sole beneficiaries. I've instructed my lawyer, Mr. Moss, to deliver deliver the essential elements in my last will and testament. Give it to them, Ben.
Moss takes out a key bearing intricate inscriptions.
A key?
A key to what?
A key to your new house.
What?
This house is the fruit of my life's work.
Bathrooms. Bathrooms. Everyone gets their own bathrooms.
This is for real.
It is a one-of-a-kind home. It's my home, actually. My home. I have no complaints. I've led an interesting life. I have seen some amazing things. But the only regret I have is that I never really got to know my nephew Arthur. Nor appreciate the love of a family like you have. This house is my attempt to make up for that. Enjoy.
His image vanishes, then reappears.
Perhaps we'll meet again. In another life.
Moss closes the laptop.
Wow!
When can we see it?
The house is yours whenever you like. Actually, I'm heading up there after work. If you want, you, your wife, and kids...
Whoa! Time out. I am not the missus here.
My wife is...
Our mom got burned to death in a fire.
Bobby.
What? It's true.
That's enough, Robert. Mr. Moss, just exactly where is this place?
Just a couple hours drive from here. A town called Willow Grove, just up the parkway. It's in a gorgeous area, but I have to warn you, your uncle liked his privacy. There isn't a neighbor for miles.
S-U-F... Suffocate! I got it! I win!
Awesome! Oh, so much! Thank you so slick!
Come on, you guys. We're almost there.
Excited?
Yeah. Mom would have freaked over this.
Oh, yeah. Looks like things are starting to get better, right?
Yeah.
Up ahead in another car, Moss checks his rearview mirror and smiles to himself. Now a dimly lit office with one wall covered in newspaper articles on abductions and murders. In the back, Kalina is searching for something. After rummaging through a set of scrolls without finding what she's looking for, she opens a drawer and pulls out explosives and flares, which she stuffs into a satchel. Next, she takes out a reel of audio tape labelled Drawing Spells and picks up a large ancient volume containing handwritten notes and sketches. A newspaper on a desk features a picture of Cyrus. Above the headline, noted adventurer dies at 57. Two cars turn into a driveway, leading to a large house with a futuristic facade made mostly of glass. They pull up behind a pickup truck already parked outside the awe-inspiring building. Moss seems puzzled as he eyes the pickup.
That's strange.
Whoa, Dad, it's beautiful!
Oh my God! I've never seen anything like it!
Cool! So futuristic.
Dennis is pointing a torch through one of the house's many windows.
Oh, hey, it's about time somebody showed up. Is this your place?
Mm-hmm. Who are you?
I'm the power guy.
Moss checks his ID.
Don't touch. Look, you probably don't know this, but your house is knocking out the power of the whole Tri-Quad area. I need to get inside and check the breakers.
Could you come back tomorrow? Is that maybe a possibility?
Oh, tomorrow? Let me see. Oh, there's about 5,570 houses right now without power. My boss is kind of frowning on that, so...
Right, well, that's not really our problem, is it?
Look, buddy, I've been doing this job about 3 weeks. Any way you can give me a little bit of a break here?
Sure. No problem.
Thank you! Mr...
Kritikos. Arthur Kritikos?
It's quite a place you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're moving in.
Well, one step at a time.
Arthur takes the key and inserts it into a lock comprising of 5 gold rings on a silver diamond panel. Inside, a pendulum begins to swing, and a machine of cogs and dials comes to life. Outside, the gold rings slowly rotate in turn.
That's odd.
Dad, you broke it!
Bobby, give it a rest.
Lights flicker on as power surges through the house.
Hello.
Wow, you can see right through it.
Huh. You guys couldn't afford any walls?
How weird.
Guess Uncle Cyrus wasn't too keen on privacy.
I sure hope the bathroom's in the basement.
Huge gears and levers begin to shift. Then the center of an enormous dial rotates, and the glass doors at the front of the house slide open. As they excitedly enter the building, finding themselves in a narrow entryway, the doors behind them seal shut before identical ones ahead of them slide open. Standing proudly at the end of a hallway is a huge model wearing samurai armor and weapons. The glass walls are etched with strange writing.
It's like a fun house.
It's Latin.
All around them, priceless antiques are sitting on display. Kathy admires pieces of naval paraphernalia.
Everything's so beautiful.
Family, just so we all clear, Miss Maggie does not do windows, okay?
Wow!
Arthur notices a desk covered with drawings and handwritten scrolls.
Samurai sword.
Bobby, in your dreams, pal.
Dad, this stuff must be worth a fortune.
Yeah, it occurred to me too.
Skulking around, away from the others, Dennis spots something he doesn't like the look of.
Oh, Cyrus. You crazy son of a bitch, what did you do?
He's standing at the entrance of a large open space. A cube-shaped room devoid of any furniture and featuring a magnificent stained glass ceiling. On the floor, a series of concentric rings display ancient symbols.
Nice. Like a cathedral.
All right, first rule, no throwing stones.
It's marvelous, though, isn't it? A living work of art.
Dennis approaches Moss, rubbing his temple.
As you show me where you hid the basement, sooner I can get my ass out of here.
I believe it's down the hall. It's two doors on the right.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis heads off.
The construction is amazing.
I'm getting dizzy.
He's watching a spinning circle on the floor.
Bobby! Don't touch anything, okay? At least until we get some property insurance.
Arthur, we've got some papers to sign in the library. After that, I would love to take you and your family on a tour of the house.
Great, great. I don't want you guys to move from this spot. We'll be right back.
Dad, you're being paranoid and overprotective?
Yeah, of all this stuff. I know you guys too well. Stay right here. I mean it.
Arthur spins around when Kathy playfully stamps her foot. She whistles innocently, but then once he and Moss have gone, she, Maggie, and Bobby hurry away mischievously. Dennis is walking down a set of stairs leading to the basement.
What the?
Much like the ground floor, the basement is decked out with glass walls bearing Latin inscriptions and cogs attached to pieces of machinery. Unlike the ground floor, the basement is dark, and Dennis needs his torch to make his way along a narrow corridor.
Where'd you hide your money, old man?
Scanning the walls, he walks towards an open door at the end of the corridor. A ghostly apparition flashes into his head.
Oh, shit! What the hell was that?
He notices power cables plugged into sockets on the walls.
Please. Oh. All right, now I know I'm dreaming. Okay. Was Cyrus a hunter?
You could say that. Oh, your uncle was quite a collector of many things.
Dennis stumbles along the corridor as more shocking images invade his subconscious.
I've marked where you're supposed to sign, Arthur. Right here would
okay,
be great.
Okay, look, I didn't want to bring this up in front of the kids, but, well, this place is beyond amazing. I'm just a math teacher, and, the taxes alone must be... I have nothing set aside, and, well, to be honest, a fire took away everything.
Arthur, you don't need to worry. Cyrus was a genius when it came to finances. Basically, you and your family don't ever have to worry about money again.
Collapsing against a wall, Dennis puts on a pair of glasses which have tiny lights on either side of the lenses. As the images grow in intensity, the pain becomes unbearable and Dennis throws himself to the floor. Behind him, a young man with ghastly wounds wearing blood-soaked clothes is standing on the other side of the glass wall. Looking over his shoulder as the man attacks the wall with a baseball bat, Dennis is suddenly confronted by a whole host of nightmarish manifestations. All around him, grotesque figures leap from the darkness, only to be stopped by glass barriers. He runs for his life. Meanwhile, on the first floor... Kathy's intrigued by the spinning circle.
Arthur, we have to talk.
What is the deal with the breakers?
There's nothing wrong with the breakers. I'm not the power guy. My name is Dennis Rafkin.
You're Dennis Rafkin?
Who's Dennis Rafkin?
My office warned me about this guy.
No, this guy's gonna sound completely whacked, all right? But just stay with me. I used to hunt, displace spiritual energies with your uncle.
I'm sorry?
PK agents, revenants, like wraiths. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? That's okay. I'll do this the easy way. Ghosts. Arthur, I used to hunt ghosts with your uncle, Cyrus.
Goats?
Ghosts! Goddammit, listen to me!
Let's key in there, huh?
Bobby, I don't think this is the place to...
Come on, slowpoke, what you doing? I know that ain't the best you got, man. My grandma's scoop better than that. It's like a girl.
Ghost, as in disgruntled spirits trapped on Earth. Ghost, you know,
ghosts,
as in
right.
Halloween.
Okay,
boo.
Great.
As in Demi Moore and Unchained Melody, right? Ghosts.
Ghosts, right. Okay, I get it. I'm scared.
Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh. Look, I'll explain everything as soon as you get you and your children outside.
It was taking you so long.
I'm on my way.
I don't think scooting is your game, boy. Come on.
You cheated. That was a fair. I didn't get started.
Gotta be on your toes, man.
This has to be my room.
There are toys everywhere.
Wonder what my room's gonna
look
like.
I'm now entering the coolest room in the house.
A glass door slides open.
I'll be in here.
Kathy walks into a room filled with elegant wooden furniture and a luxurious king-size bed, onto which she throws herself backwards.
Wow. This place is awesome!
Look, Cyrus has containment cubes all over the basement, and I don't know why they're here, I don't know why he brought them here, and I am not staying around to find out. So if I were you...
Well, he isn't you. This guy has been harassing my office since your uncle died, okay? I see this all the time, Arthur. Some rich guy passes away, and then all the nuts come out. Next thing you know, he'll be claiming that Cyrus owed him money, or...
He did owe me money. He owed me a shitload of money.
Some funky-looking specs here. What do you think? I look cool or what?
Let me see.
Not so fast. You gotta cater to my ego first.
Maggie is the best babysitter you've ever had.
Alright. I'm getting my ass out of the big glass house! Grab your children, do the same!
Are you alright?
When Arthur touches his arm, Dennis is paralyzed by a torrent of visions from Arthur's past, including images of Jean burning to death in the fire.
I'm gonna get you some help, okay? I'm gonna get you some help.
Don't touch me.
Lying on the bed, Kathy notices an ensuite bathroom and goes to check it out.
Oh my God!
She spots bottles of perfume on a glass table.
We have strep gold.
Easy. Don't.
Dennis drools as he slowly gets to his feet unaided.
Okay, how's your head?
Not good.
Where's the suit?
Descending to the basement, Moss puts on a pair of special glasses and is suddenly able to see Latin calligraphy illuminated on the floor.
Power guy.
Better have a pair of those in my room.
Hey, Bobby, where you going?
Moss eyes the numerous trapped ghosts.
What are you staring at? Hey, kiddo. Thinks I'm gonna duck. Hey, nice tits. Whoa! Jeez, you. What's the matter, honey? Bad representation?
Pressing a secret button, he opens the doors that lead to the power-generating machinery at the heart of the house. He smiles when he spots a black leather briefcase, but doesn't realize that as he picks it up, he releases a pedal which sets off a chain reaction in the house. Gears begin to grind, and the rings on the floor of the cube-shaped room rotate.
Not bad for an hourly wage.
Moss examines bundles of cash in the case. Meanwhile, the house is going through a transformation with all of the walls moving into new positions.
It's time to leave.
I'll take your word for it. Kathy?
Heading for the door, Moss is confused by the strange shifts in the house.
Come on, this way.
Arthur and Dennis are trapped. Moss is looking for a way out when identical symbols on two of the rings inside the cube room line up, and a door bearing the same symbol slides open. A naked woman with huge gashes across her face and torso emerges, carrying a carving knife.
Hey,
She slowly walks towards Moss.
I was just kidding. Before. Little lawyer humor.
He steps back into the path of two converging sheets of vertical glass. At first, he simply stands there with a shocked look on his face. Then, blood begins to trickle down the side of his head, and his glasses and tie fall to the ground. The naked woman watches as Moss's front half slowly begins to slide down the glass, leaving his back half standing upright. His insides exhibited like a grotesque work of art. Eventually, the back half follows the rest of him to the ground.
Hey, Bobby! Kathy!
I don't believe it.
Believe what?
Bob, I told them not to leave this spot.
They're kids, what do you expect?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Phil. You check downstairs, I'll look up.
Bobby, come on, it's time to go!
Bobby is racing through the house's many long corridors on his scooter.
Kathy! Where are you guys?
Bobby!
In the bathroom, Kathy's looking at herself in the mirror. Resting beside her, a pair of the special glasses provides a different view of the bright, pristine bathroom in which blood is splattered all over the walls. While Kathy fixes her hair, unawares, the naked woman appears behind her. There's a haunted look on the woman's mutilated face as she shares the mirror with Kathy and runs her fingers through her own damp curls. Kathy doesn't notice the shower curtain around the bath moving. The rings in the cube room begin to rotate again, setting in motion the wheels of the enormous, intricate machine in the basement, and the walls of the house start to shift once more. Bobby negotiates a series of corners on his scooter, while Kathy continues to check her appearance in the bathroom mirror. Turning around, she notices the bath hidden by the shower curtain and walks over to it. She opens the curtains, oblivious to the blood-soaked water and ghostly apparition lying before her in the bath. The words, "I'm sorry," are written in blood on the floor behind her. She turns on the faucet and holds her hands under the trickling water. Stretched out in the bath, the naked woman seems unnerved by Kathy's presence and watches her closely as she splashes water over her face. Growing increasingly anxious, the woman glances at the faucet and the water flowing from it turns a deep red. Smiling, Kathy holds out her hands once more. Then, as she brings the blood towards her face.
Kathy! What are you doing up here? I told you to wait downstairs.
Yeah, but Dad, come on. This bathroom's unbelievable.
Yes, great house. Beautiful bathroom. Now, where is your brother?
He's with Maggie.
Was with Maggie. We were racing and we saw all the glass.
Oh, that's good. No, you're supposed to watch him. See, that's what I pay you for.
Bobby's still wearing the glasses he found. He turns a corner and a series of levers in the basement open a pair of doors as he passes by on his scooter.
Bobby.
He's looking down a flight of stairs.
Down here. Maggie? Come on down and play. Is that you?
Maggie! Stop playing games.
Bobby? We'll have lots of fun, Bobby.
Don't come down, Bobby. Stay upstairs. Don't follow her.
Down here, Bobby.
Bobby, don't come down, Bobby.
Bobby, around the corner.
Don't come down here.
Okay, I'll find Bobby, but I want you both out of here.
But Dad!
No buts! I want you both to wait in the car and I'll be out as soon as I find the kid.
Why are you freaking out?
Kathy, just this once. Don't argue with me.
What happened to the door?
Oh, no, and I thought there was a door.
Son
here.
Of a bitch! I cannot believe this. Shit, I'm gonna have to break it down. All right, step away!
A wooden chair breaks in Arthur's hands when he tries to smash the glass with it.
Quite dramatic. But you're wasting your time. It's all sealed up.
Weren't you in an orange jumpsuit?
Don't go there. What do you mean it's all sealed up?
What part of that code are you having trouble cracking? The entire house is sealed up.
Well, there must be another way out.
I've looked.
Well, we're gonna look again. Right after we find my son. Now get up.
That's all right. I'll wait right here.
Listen. I don't know what the hell is going on here. I really don't know who the hell you are. And my son is missing. So until those questions are answered, I'm not letting you out of my sight. Now get up!
All right. Breathe.
Dennis gets to his feet.
Did the lawyer split?
Now five of the rings on the floor of the cube room are rotating. Pushing his scooter by his side, Bobby's cautiously walking along the darkened basement corridor when more of the machine's levers cause glass panels to shift.
Bobby,
Bobby looks back down the empty corridor, and a door to a room slides open. Bobby pauses to look around, then continues to move through the bowels of the building. The small boy looks increasingly nervous with every step. He glances behind him again, as if sensing there's something there, but the corridor's empty.
Come on, Cash, stop hiding!
He walks on, not noticing someone moving at the end of a corridor.
Bobby!
Come on out now, pal.
Robert, stop screwing around.
Hey, Glass Family Robinson, you're wasting your breath. This is Ectobar Glass. He's not gonna hear you, see? This is shatterproof and soundproof.
So what are these?
That's a little harder to explain. They're containment spells. See, ghosts can't cross those.
Ghosts?
Yes, ghosts. See, the supernatural realm has its own set of laws. For ghosts, it's spells. Either written or spoken, ghosts have to obey whatever the spells say.
Meanwhile, down in the basement, Bobby turns around and sees the ghost of a young, strangled girl with a tie around her neck.
The entire basement is filled with ghosts.
In this basement?
Of course in this basement. What is with you people? If it was next door, I wouldn't give a shit!
Bobby falls off his scooter.
I can prove it.
Hey, I gave a pair of those to Bobby!
He sees a head and a torso wrapped in plastic.
Spectral viewers, you can see the ghosts with these.
Bobby, come on!
Hey, Bobby!
I don't see any ghosts.
Because Bobby! They're locked downstairs.
Dad! It's more of this crazy spell shit on the floor.
Dad!
Bobby!
Let me see those.
Bobby rounds a corner and runs straight into a wall of glass, losing his spectral viewers as he falls back onto the floor.
Bobby! Come on out, pal!
Well, hidden barrier spells, you gotta be kidding me.
Bobby!
I already need more protection.
All right, that's enough. This is not helping. I want you to do me a favor and stop with all the haunted house nonsense, okay? At least until we find the kid and figure our way out of here.
Bobby, come on!
We could be.
Wait, no! Wait, no! What are you doing? What did I just say? Did I just say there's a petting zoo downstairs? No! There are ghosts downstairs, Arthur.
Right. But you also said that they're all locked up, right?
No way!
Okay, wait. Listen, I'll make a deal with you. I'll pay you whatever Cyrus owed you. You just help me find my son.
Dennis takes a moment to consider while Arthur, Maggie, and Kathy look at him pleadingly.
Unbelievable. Get out of my way.
Dennis leads the way into the basement. Bobby's lying on the floor. He sits up. Bobby lifts the glasses to his face.
That's it. That's a good boy.
His mother is walking towards him with a scarred face. Cyrus is standing behind him.
Bobby!
You don't have to scream, all right? Just chill.
Dennis looks along a corridor, narrowly missing a ghost who disappears as he approaches. Behind Kathy, the young man swings his baseball bat.
This way.
Hold on, listen to me. This is gonna take forever, this place is just too big. Okay, Kathy and I will head up this way. You two check down there.
No, I don't think we should split
it's
up.
Okay. It's okay. Just go in a straight line, turn around, we'll meet back here in five.
Five?
5 minutes.
Back here.
And
don't touch anything.
The complex cogs and other workings beneath the floor of concentric rings. Several of the inner ones are now rotating. Maggie to Dennis.
Wait a second. Let's go back to the ghost thingy.
There are ghosts in the basement. If you don't believe me, go ahead and look for yourself.
I told you I can't see any ghosts.
Give me those. Let me see. Why are these open? I was down here before. They weren't open. God! I hate it when they do that!
What?
They wait for you to stick your face right up against the glass. And then they give you a big fat boom.
Don't do that!
Maggie puts on the spectral viewers, then looks shocked.
You see?
It's
a ghost. It's a ghost, just like I've been saying all night. Finally a believer. Thank you, O Lord Jesus. There are ghosts around us all the time. Most of them, they can't hurt us. Most of them don't even want to hurt us. A little ghost here, a little ghost there, no one cares. But there are exceptions, like this badass behind me, the ones who die a violent death, stay in the tortured realm, and so violence is all they know.
What is he doing?
I don't know. I can't see. I don't have the glasses.
The ghost attacks the glass.
Okay, I've had it with this. It's time to go now. Now,
don't touch me.
Let's go. Come on!
Giving the ghost the finger, Dennis has visions of himself being attacked by the monster.
Come on, ghost boy, move your ass! It's time to go! Dad, slow down!
Bobby!
You're gonna get lost!
Kathy spots Bobby's spectral viewers while Arthur bends down to pick up his son's abandoned tape recorder. They look at each other grimly. Arthur quickly turns the tape recorder off. Kathy steps up to him.
Dad, listen to me. He's gonna be okay. We're gonna find him.
So ready to leave this place.
Oh boy.
What?
That's the symbol of the jackal.
What's the jackal?
The jackal is the Charlie Manson ghost. And if the jackal's out, screw the kid. We gotta get out of this basement.
Maybe Rafkin was right. Maybe they're really
Kathy! Hard. Think about what you're saying. There's no such thing as ghosts.
Kathy puts on the viewers. A man wearing a cage on his head lunges at her, bearing long, crooked teeth. Lifting her up and pinning her against a wall, the madman slashes at her with claw-like nails, covering her face with lacerations and ripping her clothes to shreds.
Can't see it! Tell me where it is! Get off! Alert! Stay with me!
As Arthur tugs at his daughter's legs, Kalina appears from around a corner and throws a flare at the ghostly apparition, who swiftly drops Kathy.
Don't speak.
What?
Don't move.
What?
Somehow, we got behind enemy lines.
A boy with an arrow in his head is staring at them. Meanwhile, Arthur and Kalina are dragging Kathy away from the madman.
Hey, little guy. How?
I don't think you should be teasing the ghost.
Shut up.
You shut up. You're the one that keeps pissing them off.
Go. Go, go, go!
The madman runs into a wall of glass.
Maggie!
What?
The naked woman is walking towards Maggie with a carving knife.
I can't see shit without the glasses, idiot!
Well, I can see. And I think you should go this way. Go, 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 go! It's all right. It's all right. I've got you.
Wrapping his coat around Kathy, Arthur eyes Kalina with suspicion.
Who the hell are you? And what the hell was that?
My name's Kalina Oretzia. I'm in the spirit reclamation business.
What?
I free trapped souls.
Forget Cyrus. Trapped souls for a goddamn second. What are you doing here?
It looks to me like I'm saving your ass.
Oh my God!
God. Give me your glasses. Come on!
Kathy hands her spectral viewers to Arthur, who finds himself face to face with the decomposing, salivating madman whose head is trapped in the cage.
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Another one of Cyrus's victims. I hope to God the barrier spell is old.
Victims.
Cyrus had a nasty habit of enslaving souls. That's why I'm here. I intend to set them all free.
Listen, I need to know how you got in here.
I slipped through an opening in the house when it shifted.
An opening where?
Don't get your hopes up. It's closed now. It's not going to happen again. Let me show you. This is the Arcanum. Many people died in the quest for this book. It was written in the 15th century by an astrologer named Basilius. In it, he describes the making of a certain machine, one that can see into the future. He wrote it while he was under demonic possession. I can't believe Cyrus built it.
Built what? What are you talking about?
Basilius's device. We're in the middle of a machine designed by the devil and powered by the dead.
Listen to me. I don't give a shit about any machine, or devil, or Basilius, or anything. Getting my family the hell out of this place.
I came here to set the souls in this house free. You want help? You gotta help me first.
Kathy, can you walk? Kathy! Kathy! Oh no! This can't be happening!
Come on, we gotta get out of here.
I'm not going anywhere without my kids.
Try telling him that.
They look up to see the boy with the arrow in his head suspended above them. Holding an axe in his hands, he smiles at them as they move away. Meanwhile, the gears of the machine are moving faster than before.
This way. Come on, go, go, go. Stairs. Let's go. Come on. Go, go, go. You go, 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 go. What? Don't touch me! The glasses, please! The glasses! You'll need these! Catch!
Dennis is left trapped in a small chamber as four glass walls close in on him. Maggie looks in from the outside.
Good job.
Sorry.
A lever shifts and shutters seal the house in darkness.
Perfect, another dead end. Okay, genius, we found the stairs. How do we get to them?
Get away.
What? What do we do now?
Get away. Get away from the glass.
Why?
Just do it.
Arthur turns around and faces a monster of a man with heavy metal bolts hammered into every part of his head and body. He and Kalina back off, then run straight into the caged madman who's still trapped behind the wall of glass. Elsewhere, Dennis contorts with pain, and Maggie looks down at the viewers in her hand. She puts them on in time to see the young man strike Dennis with the baseball bat. Dennis rolls out of the chamber, and a glass panel traps the ghost inside.
Here it is. We gotta get to the library. It's got spell protection all around it.
Okay, where is that from here?
Kalina looks above them. Maggie and Dennis are cautiously climbing a set of stairs.
Can I rely on you not to get me killed?
I guarantee nothing.
Kalina is clambering up a wall while Arthur holds a flare. Dennis has a look around.
See anything?
Shh.
Anything?
No.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
You know, I think they're just downstairs. Nothing.
Man, if we get out of this alive, I've got to get a pay raise.
Kalina removes the ceiling panel.
Give me the flare.
Dennis is having visions.
What's wrong? Come on, man. I'll start freaking out now. Come on.
A semi-naked fat man and a female dwarf are waiting for them. Kalina's climbing to the floor above.
Just back up. Go, slow.
Okay. Go slow.
Slow. Go, go, go!
Dennis and Maggie run straight into Kalina.
Who the hell?
What the hell are you doing here?
The cube room rings line up another symbol, and the door in front of the bolt-ridden monster slides open. Arthur scrambles to climb to the others.
Hey, remember me!
The monster's punch narrowly misses Arthur's legs.
Thank you for taking your time.
We gotta move down the hall. We're gonna make a left and then a right.
Where are we going?
Trust me, okay?
Oh, Arthur!
Trust her, just trust her.
All right, we're going!
Let's go!
Go!
Where the hell is she?
I'll explain later.
The machine's pendulum continues to swing back and forth, while the demonic house's countless corridors echo with the voices of the damned. Thick black cables run the length of illuminated glass panels in the ceiling. The house is plunged into darkness, and huge metal cogs are silhouetted against an eerie blue light. A corridor stands empty, the glass-paneled rooms on either side of it in darkness. Kalina's holding a flare out in front of her as she leads the way through the house.
Arthur, what happened to Kathy?
I don't know. She disappeared.
How do you lose an entire family in a glass house?
Arthur fixes him with a piercing stare, then turns away as Dennis holds his hands to his head and the madman appears from nowhere.
Arthur!
He's pounding Arthur. Dennis hurls the flare at the madman, who vanishes when he sees it coming. A withered old woman with her head and wrists in wooden stocks appears and heads towards them. They seal the glass door just in time.
Arthur, are you all right? Don't be here. Ghost.
I hate this job.
I didn't seem to like you either. I wonder why.
You got something to say, say it.
All right, let's start with this. This is all your goddamn fault! If you hadn't caught them, we wouldn't be running from them now, would we?
It's his uncle that built the damn house!
Yeah, but you helped him. How could you help him without knowing what he was doing?
I had my reasons.
Money, you parasite. You stole people's souls for money. How depraved is that?
If you haven't noticed, I'm a little bit of a freak!
I come within 10 feet of anything dead, I go into seizures. I touch somebody, and a whole life full of shit just flashes in front of my eyes. All right, so yeah, I'm depraved. And Cyrus is my friend, and he accepted me, so.
He didn't accept you. You're so pathetic. He used you.
Shut up, both of you. Let him some slack. What difference does it make?
You didn't tell him, did you?
Oh, God, what? Tell me what? What now?
About the fourth ghost.
No, don't do this. I didn't tell him. Don't do this.
He has a right to know.
What about the fourth ghost?
St. Luke's Hospital, 6 months ago.
Arthur shakes his head in disbelief.
You're saying my wife's spirit is trapped in this house.
I didn't know you. I didn't know her. I didn't know she had a husband.
Arthur punches Dennis off his chair.
Why? In God's name, why? Tell me, why her?
I don't know why. Cyrus handpicked them all, including your wife, when I figured out who you were. God, I've been trying to help you.
You call this help? She's right! Is this all your goddamn fault? Son of a bitch!
Arthur, you can save her. And your kids, too. Just listen to me and believe me. This house is not a house. It is a machine. It is a complete and faithful recreation of Basilius's design. According to this, there should be 12 earthbound spirits trapped inside. See these? They represent the Black Zodiac. They represent the ghost that Cyrus needed to catch. The firstborn son. The torso. The bound woman. The withered lover. Jean.
Arthur gently touches the page in the book.
The torn prince.
The young man with a baseball bat.
The angry princess.
The naked woman.
The pilgrimess. The great child and the dire mother. The hammer. And here, the sign of hell's winter. The jackal.
The madman with a caged head.
And the juggernaut. According to Basilius, the machine required the energy of these specific spirits in order to bring it to life. Once it engages, the spirits are released one by one. The house then draws them to its center. Each one adds its energy to the machine, powering it up.
Powering it up for what?
To open the Ocularis Infernum.
The Ocularis, what's that?
It's Latin. Ocularis. The Eye of Hell?
Very good.
The Eye of Hell. I'm stuck in here with a glass house, bunch of crazy white
Go
people.
On. Go on.
In hell, there's an eye that sees everything. The past and the future, the heaven and earth, the blessed and the damned. If knowledge is power, then the man who controls the Ocularis would be the most powerful man on earth. Your uncle.
Great.
So, how many ghosts have been set free?
11, and the house needs 12.
No. Damon said something about 13. That there are 13 ghosts.
The 13th ghost is a failsafe. In order to stop the process, the house needs a sacrifice of life instead of death. A willing human sacrifice. The sacrifice of the broken heart. The only ghost to be created out of an act of pure love.
You're the 13th ghost.
The 13th spirit stands before the eye at the final configuration. As the eye opens, the spirit uses the power of life to essentially short-circuit the system.
Uses the power of life how?
By leaping into the eye.
And Arthur's supposed to take this leap? No fucking way, lady. That's suicide, Arthur. I'm not gonna let you do it. You need to come up with something else. That's not working. No way.
Love is the most powerful energy, Arthur.
Meaning?
In order for you to save your children, you'd have to trade your life for theirs.
Let me see this. There's gotta be a better way.
I don't read Latin.
Well, we can try it the old-fashioned way, my personal favorite. Nobody's gonna be here to brag about it afterwards. Whatever we decide, we gotta come up with a game plan soon, because time's running out.
You wanna blow the place up?
The last ghost is about to be released.
Look, I know why you feel like you have to do this, Arthur.
Get away from me.
No, psychics call it a linking. We linked earlier. I saw everything about Jean, about you.
Shut up. I'm not gonna listen to this from you.
Kalina is talking about suicide.
Whatever I have to do to save my kid.
It doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense. There's gotta be a better way.
It doesn't add up? What does add up here, Dennis? How much of this equation makes any sense at all? God damn it. God damn it. All I can think about are my kids. I don't even know if they're alive.
Let's go out there and find out. One last time, while there's still time, you and me.
His back streaked with bloody lacerations, Arthur touches one of the glass walls and considers Dennis's words. Then he turns to Kalina.
Kalina, no matter what I decide to do, or what happens to any of us, are you sure you can stop that machine?
I got enough explosives to blow us back to the 15th century.
Okay. How many flares do you have left?
One. Why?
We're going out again.
Oh, no fucking way. Arthur, you won't get yourself killed!
Not if we take that.
We've got about 10 minutes till the ectoplasmic shit hits the fan.
They're carrying a sheet of inscribed glass.
Go, go, go.
We'll go downstairs to try and buy you some more time.
After you, Captain America.
Kalina and Maggie drop through the hole in the ceiling of the corridor with a flare.
Just got my nails done.
Here, put these on. Come on, let's go. Come on!
Kalina hands Maggie a pair of spectral viewers and picks up a flare. Then they head off. While disembodied voices echo throughout empty hallways and passages, Arthur and Dennis carefully inch their way down a corridor. Equipped with spectral viewers and holding opposite sides of the glass shield containing the spell, they move hesitantly, scouring the shadows for any hidden dangers.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Knock it off, Dennis. Just keep your eyes open.
Sure as hell hope I don't bleed to death. That would suck. Rotate.
Holding out the flare, Kalina and Maggie round a corner.
Is that half the lawyer?
Here, take this. Move it.
Oh my God.
Come on.
Definitely look better.
Arthur and Dennis are holding the shield in front of them now as they slowly edge towards a room at the end of a hallway. Meanwhile, holding the Arcanum close to her chest, Kalina opens the doors to the machine room and is astonished by the awesome sight that confronts her. The mechanism's gears are spinning and grinding faster than ever. As Arthur and Dennis continue to move along the narrow corridor, a lever on the machine changes position and a door slides open. Somewhere, a baseball bat wraps a glass floor. Suddenly, the young man appears ahead of them and swings his bat at the shield of glass.
Land him! He's swinging for the fences!
A man with a cane is slowly walking towards Maggie.
Kalina, get over here! This place ain't working! Hurry up!
The young man continues to pound the sheet of glass until Arthur and Dennis are able to use it to force the ghost into a room. Kalina swings the Arcanum into the side of Maggie's head, knocking her unconscious to the floor. Then, as Cyrus stands before her, still wearing the suit he died in, she takes off her glasses and kisses him hard on the lips before he pulls the book from under her arm and pushes her away.
Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Kalina?
Why? Why are you so mad at me? I did everything you asked me to do.
Kalina.
I killed Daemon. I stole his spells.
Kalina.
I even made sure your pathetic nephew didn't get himself killed.
Kalina! Where are the spells?
She hands him the spool of audio tape.
You're not mad at me, are you?
Of course not.
What is it?
Oh, shit.
Goodness.
The hammer, the bolted man, is standing at the end of the hallway.
There's only room for one of us back there. What
are you doing?
Don't worry about us. I've been looking for a reason to like myself for a long time.
Don't do this!
Hey, bro! You ain't nothing but a bitch!
The hammer swings at Dennis. Arthur's watching from behind the glass shield. Symbols align, and the Juggernaut is released from his glass prison.
Oh my God!
The hammer smashes Dennis's hand. Ben stands over him as he clutches his wound. Now on his knees, Dennis looks up to see the Juggernaut bearing down on him before the hammer gives him a heavy blow on the back. The Juggernaut lifts Dennis off the ground and repeatedly smashes his skull against a wall before hauling him high over his head, then pressing him against a doorframe until the hard metal snaps his spine in two and blood pours from his mouth. Dennis's limp body falls to the floor.
So what are we going to do now? Your nephew believes that sacrificing himself will save his kids, but he won't do it unless he's convinced his kids are in jeopardy.
Well, put them in jeopardy.
What?
Why not?
But they're kids.
Greatness requires sacrifice. Now I have a job to do. And so have you. Do it. Do it!
Yes.
Kalina seems hesitant.
And now to finish this.
As the central rings in the cube room begin to sink into the floor, one by one the ghosts suddenly vanish. The angry princess, the hammer and the jackal all disappear while Arthur watches from behind his protective glass screen. Finally, the Juggernaut turns to walk away, then vanishes into thin air. Arthur is completely drained, slumping to the floor with his head in his hands. He doesn't notice his wife walking towards him. With burns covering half of her face, she's wearing a hospital gown and is attached to a drip.
Oh my God, Jean. I loved you so much. I miss you. Miss you. I'm nothing without you.
Arthur presses his hand against the glass, and as Jean reaches out to touch it, she slowly disappears in front of him. In tears, Arthur takes off the spectral viewers as he's left alone in the hallway.
Fetch the book.
While Kalina grabs the arcanum, Cyrus pushes a handle that traps her in a contracting chamber.
Cyrus! Cyrus! What are you doing?
You just can't teach some people.
I thought I told you!
Greatness requires sacrifice.
She's crushed between two sheets of glass. Meanwhile, the outer rings in the cube room lift up and begin to roll.
Daddy!
My
They're trapped in the rings.
Daddy, I'm scared!
Arthur frees himself. Arthur puts on the glasses and sees 12 ghosts circling his children. Arthur realizes he's being watched. Staring at him from the end of the hallway, Cyrus is standing with his cane in his hands. Arthur remembers Kalina's words.
This house is not a house. It is a machine. Designed by the devil. And powered by the dead. According to Basilius, there should be 12 earthbound spirits trapped inside. They represent the Black Zodiac. They represent the ghost that Cyrus needed to catch. Firstborn son.
What?
The torso.
Two.
The bound woman.
Three.
The withered lover.
Four.
The torn prince. The angry princess. The pilgrims. The great child and the dire mother. The hammer. The jackal. And the juggernaut.
12.
With all of the rings now whirling around Kathy and Bobby, Dennis's face flashes into Arthur's head.
You're the 13th ghost.
If I'm the 13th.
With a look of dawning realization, Arthur looks over at his uncle and slowly takes off his spectral viewers. Cyrus is still standing there.
You son of a bitch!
He pins Cyrus against a wall.
Please, Mark, hit you! Bastard!
Fighting back, Cyrus knocks him to the ground.
Arthur, you hear nothing!
You loser!
I dedicated my entire life to this.
Every waking moment for years.
Have you ever shown that kind of dedication? Have you? Have you? The world has no time for little people like you. It needs people who are willing to do anything. Anything for greatness.
He pulls a long blade from inside his cane.
You don't have a choice. This time, Arthur.
You will make that leap. The machine requires a ghost to be created out of an act of pure love. That's why I chose you, nephew. You and your pathetic family. Congratulations. You get to become the 13th ghost. Now get on your feet.
Maggie's sabotaging the sound equipment. Taking advantage of the distraction, Arthur knocks the blade away and kicks Cyrus to the floor. Maggie pulls the spell reel off the machine and begins haphazardly pushing and pulling levers, opening doors and shifting walls at random. Maggie's intervention has caused the machine to go haywire. Chunks of metal shear off as its cogs begin to jam. Cyrus regains consciousness to see 12 ghosts bearing down on him. Through the viewers, Arthur watches them lift Cyrus off the ground and throw him into the whirling rings, dicing him into small pieces. While the machine falters further, Dennis appears before Arthur.
Trust me, Arthur. It's not over yet. You can finish this. You still have the power in you. It's just a matter of how you use it. They go to your kids, they need you.
Arthur takes off the glasses and steps up to the rings. When they stop whirling for an instant before starting up again, Arthur takes a step back. ducts as the machine breaks up, causing an explosion. Arthur takes a huge leap towards Kathy and Bobby, which he times to perfection to coincide with an instant when the rings have stopped pivoting.
Keep your hands down! Hold on
tight! All around them, the house is breaking up amidst almighty explosions, which sends shards of glass flying through the air. As the explosions cease, all that's left standing is the metal framework of the once magnificent building. Outside, 12 ghosts slowly walk away from the house, then vanish. In the cube room, Arthur and his children are huddled together on the floor, while Dennis looks on.
Everybody okay?
Dennis disappears.
You okay?
Arthur kisses Bobby.
How'd you know we'd be safe?
I didn't. I just wasn't about to leave you guys. I love you both so much.
As they squeeze each other tightly, Jean appears standing over them. Her face is now scar-free, and she looks beautiful, smiling down at them. She's speaking without moving her lips.
I love you.
Slowly she fades away, leaving her family holding each other in a warm, loving embrace.
This is it for me. I'm on the first fucking plane back to New York. I'm sorry, family, Kathy, Bobby, Uncle, Ghost. I am sick of this nanny shit. I've had it. This was not in the job description. I quit!
Let's do it. I walk through the streets trying to figure out why I captivate people when I don't even trust. Like all the things that I took for granted, but now that I'm older, I surely understand it. Every single day trying to carry out tasks, celebrate another birthday, life moving too fast. Every minute, hour, each day and night, making sure I stay focused and keep my mind right. Never knowing what drama that life could bring, inspiration to win with every song I sing, making sure that I'm not overcome with greed. Got enough security for my seed. It go like any given day I can take 50 grand, snatch her out of school and head to Disneyland. Or maybe just Toys R Us, send them all.